We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken. And on today's episode, we're starting Season 7. This is the Season 7 premiere. And I've missed you guys. It's been a month and some change. Thanks for coming back. If you're listening to this after I post it, or whenever you're listening to it, thanks for, sticking around. And I'm looking forward to this season. I have a lot of shows and movies and some albums that coming up that I'm excited to talk about and review. And as I mentioned, if any of you listened to my trailer for Season 7, you'll know that the premiere for this season was going to be my review of My Adventures with Superman, the first season. That's what's on the agenda for tonight's episode, or today's episode. I'm posting this. By the time I post this, it'll be like 2:30, 3 in the afternoon, so I guess technically you could, say it's today. If you haven't seen the show, know that I will be, as usual, I'm warning you guys that I will be going into some slight spoilers. Obviously, not everything will be spoiled, but if you don't want anything spoiled, then pause the episode, go watch the season. It's on Max. If any of you guys, the streaming service formerly known as HBO Max, but if any of you guys have Max, all 10 episodes of the first season are on there. I highly recommend it. That's my recommendation right off the bat. I highly recommend to go check it out. But if you have seen it, then, please feel free to stick around and listen to the review. So My Adventures with Superman is basically just about, showing the origin of Clark Kent becoming Superman. Like, he already has the powers, but over the season, we start to see him develop more powers. And then we also get to see him come up with the name, or discover the name Superman, and, deciding to use that as his superhero name. And, we get to see him, don the suit, like he gets the suit, and he's already friends with, when we see him in the first episode, he's already friends with Jimmy Olsen, but we, see him, working at the Daily Planet. And in the first episode, we see him meet up with Lois Lane. And, the three of them become best friends. And the season is basically just them, it's kind of slowly building up this mystery of, who's messing with Superman. But there's all these different enemies with all this tech that's like Kryptonian tech. Or it's kind of connected to Superman. And, they're trying to figure out what's going on with that. And meanwhile, there's a bigger bad behind it all that has a vendetta against Clark, against Superman, for reasons unknown. We don't know why until towards the end of the season. But it was really good so far. But the interesting thing about the show is, I heard about it, I guess a month after it had premiered. Or I had, started hearing people's, reactions. I had started, hearing people's thoughts and opinions on the show. And a podcast I listened to, they were talking about it. And they were like, yeah, it was good. Some of them liked it, some of them didn't. But it was interesting hearing about it, because most of what I had heard about the show was nothing but positive. Positive feelings and opinions on it. And I was like, I like the, and you know, what I saw, like clips of it, I'm like, or when I saw the trailer, I'm like, I like the look of it. It has a very like anime inspired, Invincible type inspired, look to the art style and like the drawing and the animation, or like the way the characters are drawn, the art style and the animation, the way they all move and everything. It feels like a very anime or Invincible type, series or type of style. And if any of you have seen Invincible, that's the superhero animated adult superhero series on Amazon or on Prime, and which is really good if you haven't seen it. Really looking forward to season 2 of that later this year. But yeah, so, you know, I immediately was intrigued by, you know, the look of the animation and the art style, and the fact that I'm not really that heavy on the Superman lore. Like, I mean, I know more about, like, the Batman lore, because, you know, last year I binged all the Batman movies before the Batman came out, and, you know, I'm watching Harley Quinn, which is great, and, or, you know, season 4, which is out now, or which, you know, which is premiering weekly. I'm loving that. Been loving the show for the last few years. And, you know, so, like, I know more about, like, Batman. I'm more knowledgeable on Batman than, say, Superman. But the show does a great job at, like, the show does a great job at introducing all of these, like, villains, like, his rogues gallery of villains, throughout the episodes. And, you know, and if you don't know them, it's fine, because they do a good job at, like, introducing them, I mean, introducing you to each and every one of them. And they're all really cool. Like, and obviously I knew Slade was a villain. I thought he was just Batman's villain, because I know Slade Wilson, Deathstroke. I know he's one of Batman's villains, and he's kind of like an assassin, this badass assassin with swords. Again, that's like the basics, like what I know about him. But I didn't realize that he was also Superman's villain, or a villain that Superman has to face, or does face in the comics, you know? So when he showed up, at first I'm like, is that Slade? Because his suit looked familiar. And then when he put on the helmet and then whipped out the swords and started fighting Superman, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's him. Although, actually, now that I think about it, I don't think he had the swords when he was fighting. He had, like, these lightning rods. Or he had, like, these rods that, like, shot out lightning or electricity. Or batons. I'm not sure what they were. But, yeah, he had these other weapons. He had these other weapons that weren't exactly his swords. But I think he does whip out his swords at some point. But yeah, so, but anyway, so, you know, that was, you know, really cool to see Slade pop up, because I just assumed he was a Batman villain only, but I guess it makes sense, because they're all DC characters, and I'm assuming they all, I mean, you know, obviously the Justice League comprises of several different heroes, like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash, you know, so it's like, I guess it makes sense that when they're together as a team, obviously, like, obviously they cross over as a team, so naturally the villains would just attack, like, whoever they felt the need, whoever they felt like they wanted to attack, like, whoever benefited them the most. They're not, you know, they're not exclusive to only one hero, you know. So I thought that was cool, and I really enjoyed the so going back to what I was saying about the when I started watching it, so the first 4 episodes had already been out by the time I watched it, and I binged them over the course of, I guess it was really only like a day, maybe a day and a half, but I watched the first 4 episodes, and yeah, it was like towards the end of July, I want to say. Yeah, it was like the last week of July, a couple days before the 5th episode came out. I binged the first 4, and I'm like, I'm loving this so far, can't wait to watch the rest weekly, and, it was a nice treat watching the rest of them, you know, having caught up and watch, you know, anticipating the next episode, you know, week after week, you know, it was, I love that feeling. I know some people prefer to binge shows, like when they're, you know, when they've released the entirety of the show or the entirety of whatever season they're watching, but, you know, there's kind of a lost art to, well, I guess a lost art, but there's a lost art to just like watching a show and like waiting for it, you know, weekly, you know, like it's kind of nice just like having a week to digest and reflect on the episode that you watched that week and, you know, come, you know, theorize and, you know, think about like, yeah, what's going to happen in the next episode. You know, the anticipation, you know, is something you miss out on when you binge watch, because when you binge watch, you can just, you know, if you want, you can just immediately go to the next episode. There's no, unless you're like, have something to do at that moment, but you know, if you're sitting down and binge watching it, you can just go to the next episode, no problem. So I liked that I got into it like with still half the season left, or slightly over half the season left, because I was able to you know, watch it and anticipate the next episode. Like, I like doing that, but yeah, it's funny, the show, when it was picked up, it was originally supposed to premiere on Cartoon Network. It was ordered in May of 2021, and it was ordered with a, it was picked up, it was announced that a 2-season order had been placed for the show, which is cool, because I'm assuming unless that deal fell through, then there is a second season confirmed, or there should still be. I mean, they haven't said anything else about it, but I'm assuming that there is still a second season confirmed of this. But yeah, for some reason, for whatever reason, in March of this year, they announced that it would be airing on Adult Swim instead. Even though the show isn't necessarily produced for a young adult demographic. But, I mean, because the show, it's like PGV, you know, for violence, you know. So it's not really that, it's not the tamest, but it's not like the most adult. Like, it's not really something you'd see on Adult Swim that's like an adult cartoon, you know, but... I mean, but it is a mature show. Like, I mean, like, it's, like, mature in its themes and stuff, but it's not really... There's no, like, sexual innuendos. There's no really, like, gory violence like, you know, you'd see in, like, Invincible or something. So, you know, it was interesting hearing the fact that it was on Adult Swim, because I'm like, well, you know, when I watched the first 4 episodes, I'm like, well, this doesn't really feel, like, overtly adult, like, at all. But, I don't know, it might have something to do with the fact that, like, Adult Swim is slowly eating up Cartoon Network's airing time. and, you know, yeah, it might have something to do with that, and them, and also the Cartoon Network Studios building shutting down, like, earlier this year. Or I think it was, like, a few months ago. But, yeah, those probably are factoring into why they moved it to Adult Swim. I guess because they're like, well, the Cartoon Network shut down the studio, and, you know... Adult Swim's taking up more of Cartoon Network's airing time, so, screw it, let's just throw it on Adult Swim. And obviously, adults can be fans of adult cartoons and cartoons aimed for kids or families. So, you know, I mean, whether it was on Adult Swim or not, people were still probably going to tune in just to see how it turned out, just to see if they liked it. And if they liked it, they were going to continue watching it. So, you know, needless to say, you know, it being on Adult Swim isn't hindering... you know, people's enjoyment of it, or it's not hindering its viewership, you know, because, if anything, it probably benefited it in a way, because people probably at first thought they might've been duped into thinking it was an adult cartoon, only to realize that, you know, it was like, oh, this is just kind of like a, you know, family cartoon. I mean, not really family cartoon, but like an all ages cartoon, you know. Yeah, I guess that's a better word for it, an all ages cartoon where anyone of any age could watch the show and get something out of it and enjoy it, you know. But that is, yeah, and also I watched it on Max because they had this you know, which I guess most of Adult Swim shows and I guess shows that are on Max are doing now. I mean, not shows that are exclusive to Max, but shows that show up on Max, you know, that like air on TV. So I'm assuming most of them do this, but the show premiered on Adult Swim with the first 2 episodes on July 7th. That was when the show premiered. And then, which was Thursday at midnight, which technically you could argue is like the start of Friday, you know, Thursday midnight, Friday morning, you know, but, you know, and then later on Friday, you know, the next day or later that day, you know, on the 8th, they uploaded dropped the episodes on Max and, they released the episodes on Max. So, that's where I watched the rest of the show. And I do like that they just released them right after. They didn't wait, you know, for like the whole season, like, cause they knew people would probably want to stream the show and they're like, well, it's a DC property and it's on Adult Swim, you know, which Max, you know, kind of their library consists of a lot of DC content and, you know, it includes Warner Brothers, which kind of includes Adult Swim and all that. So they're like, yeah, let's just release it after it airs on TV. Like, that's the smartest option to me, instead of waiting, like, until the finale or until the season is over and dropping it all at once. Do that, you know. That way, again, like I said, people can digest it weekly, you know. And, but yeah, so I love the show. I thought it was a great... you know, like I said, don't know that much about Superman and his lore. I know the bare bone basics. Like, I know his father was Jor-El. I know that his father and mother sent him away as a baby in an escape pod from their planet Krypton because it was blowing up. You know, I don't know like the intricate details. Like, I don't know why it blew up. I don't know how many, because I know that some Kryptonians survived, like Supergirl, his cousin survived, you know, Lois, and I knew he had a friend named Jimmy. You know, he works at the Daily Planet. Lex Luthor is his like main enemy, who's this bald businessman, you know, bald, suave businessman who's just a human, but you know, he's so rich, he has the money and the technology to take on Superman, you know, because he's rich, you know, he can buy anything he wants. So, you know, I knew like that stuff, but you know, there was a lot that they showcased in the show that I wasn't aware of. But I think they did a great job at like showcasing all of these, villains. And I realized I said that earlier, but no, but they really do what was his name? Was it Mixel, Plixel, Mr. Mixis? I'll just call him Mixie. I'm messing up his name. But Mr. Mixis Pitalik, I believe. That's a damn tongue twister of a name. But yeah, Mixie, he was cool. He was like this dimension. He was like this, he's a trickster, you know, he's like this, he can like warp reality and like just, you know, like make people see whatever they want to see. And he's like this little blue floating dude. I'm like, oh, this guy's pretty cool. Yeah, he's like a trickster. He just likes to screw with people's perceptions of reality and stuff. I'm like, oh, I like this guy. He's a cool villain. We met the Council of Lois's, you know, a bunch of different badass versions of Lois Lane. That was really cool. Again, like I said, Slade Wilson pops up. We get to see Amanda Waller, who, you know, the head of the Suicide Squad. That was cool to see. We get this cool general guy, General Sam, who there's a twist with him later on at the end of the finale that I thought was really cool. And yeah, we get a bunch of other villains. You know, we get the Dr. Ivo. He was pretty cool. And yeah, there's just a bunch of, yeah, villains throughout the season that they fight. And, you know, they have connections to, you know, tech, like Kryptonian tech. And they're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with that. And, you know, and they're all, and they're, you know, eventually they all become, they all join, you know, they're not, you know, reluctantly, they all join Task Force X because Amanda Waller eventually, you know, like imprisons all of the villains they face. And, you know, obviously that she does the whole, you know, I don't think she planted bombs in their neck. I think she did, but you know, she does the whole thing. It's like, you know, if you fall out of line, I'll kill you. You know, you're working for me now. And, you know, she, you know, kind of forms this team along with the general to take down Superman. And, you know, they have to fight them, like, towards the end of the season. And that was really cool. And the not only is the animation in the show great, but the fight scenes are great. Like, the choreography with them. And the animation with the fight scenes, too. Like, it's very smooth and fluid. And, you know, you can definitely tell the budget. I mean, not saying, like, you know, they look bad when they're just like standing around talking, but like you could tell they spent a little bit more on the budget, or you could tell they spent more of the budget on like the fight scenes than like just scenes where they're like standing around talking, you know. Because, you know, like the animation goes off during fight scenes, and especially in the intro too. Like, significantly, like if you watch the intro, it's like, damn, this is so smooth and fluid, it looks nice. And and not to mention that theme song's badass, like that rock theme song, and just like the visuals that go with it. You know, we see Clark in his Superman outfit, costume, flying through the city, and we see him as a boy looking at a vision, like a projection of Jor-El from his you know, the ship that sent him to Earth. We like pan over, we cut to a cornfield. We're in a cornfield, you know, it's a young Clark, but then like we pan around. And then when we pan around, and, you know, we go around to the back of his head, and then we come back to the front of Clark, and he's an adult. And then, you know, we see Lois pop up, and then Jimmy pops up on his side, and we see like all the big bad villains like standing in front of them, like, you know, like very huge, like in the sky, you know, like like all the villains that are in this season, and then it's just like, you know, we see Clark take off his glasses and transform into Superman, or not transform, but, you know, like stare menacingly, you know, with a smile kind of at the villains, and then the title pops up. You know, I know I just described the whole intro, but it looks really cool. They did a great job with, you know, kind of, you know, get, you know, finding, you know, picking some music that like fits with the theme of the show, or it fits like, you know, cause when you watch an intro or when you watch a show and the show has a good intro, you know, you want the show to have a good intro because the intro hypes you up for the show every time. And it also puts you in the frame of mind of like what the show is going to be like. Like it sets the tone for the show, and this, and the rock theme sets the tone for the show well, because, you know, it gets you feeling like, oh yeah, this is a very heroic, this is a very intense, or, you know, this is an intense superhero show. You know, it should have like a rock theme or something like that. And yeah, it fits well. Yeah, it fits well with the what the show is about. So yeah, I loved it. It was great. And the voice acting from everyone was great. Jack Quaid, who some of you, you know, he's in another superhero property. If any of you, which I feel like at this point, everyone's at least heard of the show, even if they haven't seen it. But Clark is voiced by Jack Quaid, who you guys might know, or you all might know as Huey from The Boys, one of the main characters. He's one of the boys in the show. And he voices Clark, and I think he does a great job. He has a great, like, sense of humor, you know, great comedic timing, and he does a great job at, like, you know, because Clark is, you know, he's kind of like a little bit more shy and timid when he is Clark, but then when he's Superman, he puts on more of a brave, dashing persona, you know, and I think he balances those well. And, you know, it's the same voice, he's not putting on a different voice really, it's just like the way he presents himself when he's both Clark and Superman. He does a great job at both. And again, like I said, it's the same voice. It's not a different voice, but the inflections in his voice, yeah, and how he presents himself is different, which is cool. Alice Lee voices Lois. She was great too. And Ishmael Saeed, I hope I'm not butchering his last name, but he voiced Jimmy. He was great too. I love the dynamic between the three of them. I mean, they were a great friend group. They bounced off each other really well. But I also loved the dynamic between Clark and Lois, because, you know, everyone loves the two of them. They were great as friends. And then it's not too long. It's like four episodes in where we see them kiss, you know, and it's like, oh shit, you know. So like, and also it, I appreciate the fact that not only did they get them together in this season, like, they didn't stay friends the whole season until the finale, and then, oh, I love you, and then they kissed, you know. Like, it's not like they got together in the last episode. They got together, like, you know, halfway through the season. You know, like, episode 4, we already get to see them kiss, you know. It's like, oh, they, you know, and then we get to see them go out on a date. Like, I don't think it's the very next episode, but it's the episode after. But, you know, the rest of the season, we see them, like, talking about their feelings for each other. And you know, like, and you know, we see them go from being friends to being in a romantic relationship. And, you know, it was paced really well. I appreciated the pacing of the season, and what they did with Clark and Lois's characters. And I also like the fact that both of them found out this season that Clark was Superman. Like, they didn't keep that up for a whole season either. They weren't like, well, we're just gonna, you know, we're gonna have this go on throughout the entire season, and then maybe in the finale we'll have, you know, them accidentally find out, you know. But no, that, like, that Lois finds out in at the end of episode 4, you know, and then she tries to, you know, and then she confronts Clark about it in episode 5, so he finds out that she found out, and then in episode 6, and I love this too, by the way, because in the 6th episode, My Adventures with Mad Science, Jimmy gets kidnapped by this gorilla, Monsieur Mala, and he's like this scientist that was turned into a gorilla, he was a gorilla that was injected, he was like a gorilla that was like experimented on, and you know, he was given the ability to talk and all that, and he's in a romantic relationship with this robot, or with this guy whose brain was put into a robot. It's weird as shit, but it's also kind of funny and kind of sweet. Like, I mean, it's weird when you think about the fact that before the guy was a robot, he was a guy, and the gorilla was a gorilla. I mean, that's kind of weird, like, you know, but them as a gorilla and a robot is sweet, you know, and also funny, because the brain is kind of the pissy one of the two. Like, he's like, why did we let this asshole come in here? And the and Mala's like, oh no, it's all right, my love, you know, we'll it's all right, he just wants some company, you know. That's half-assed French accent there, but anyway, that was a great episode. But yeah, so but in that episode, you know, Clark and Lois kind of, you know, their things are a little tense with them, but you know, they mend the bridge, you know, they you know, make up in the, you know, throughout the episode and at the end of the episode. And then at the end, we find out that Jimmy, you know, Clark's about to tell Jimmy, and Jimmy's like, dude, I know you're Superman. It's like, when we met, like, you ripped the doorknob off the, or he says something like, you ripped the doorknob off of our door and pretended like the it was rusty and falling off already. It's like, you weren't slick. I knew you, there was something to you. I knew you had powers. So I love that Jimmy, it's like, Jimmy wasn't an idiot. He knew all along. Like, Clark wasn't as sly as he thought he was. So I appreciated that, like, Clark didn't even have to tell Jimmy, he knew. So that was great. But yeah, so that episode was great. Really, all the episodes are great. Like, they're, like I said, the pacing is great throughout the season, because, you know, we're building up, you know, we have adventures throughout the episodes, but they all connect to, you know, all these villains are, again, like I said, being formed by Amanda Waller into Task Force X, or the Suicide Squad, you know, and also the general, who's like the co-head of this operation, or the co-head of, like, Task Force X. And, you know, they're trying to build a little squad of villains to defeat Superman. Because the general has, like, this vendetta against Superman for something that wasn't even his fault. And, but, you know, he doesn't know that. General has no idea. He just assumes that Clark knows, or Superman, you know, he assumes that Superman had something to do with, you know, with his beef with him. He's like, oh yeah, you had something to do with what happened a long time ago. But yeah, so, and yeah, I love Clark and Lois together. They're an adorable couple, a lot of adorable scenes with the two of them. And I love the tomboy look, kind of. I love the pixie cut Lois, you know, because, like, most of the time we see her, you know, she's got the longer hair. It was cool to see that look. I thought she looked cute, you know. I like the pixie cut on Lois, and also she, I believe, is Asian, unlike most other adaptations where she's just white. And it, you know, it's funny because I felt like there'd be more people complaining about that. Like, oh, this show's so woke, they changed Lois's race. but oddly enough, I haven't really seen that many people complaining about that, which I'm appreciative of, because I feel like obviously, you know, you don't always have to change the race of a character, but, like, there's so many different versions of Lois to where her being Asian doesn't really, it's not that big of a deal. And also, plus, they got the character right. Like, they got her character right. Even if she's not white, even if her race isn't the same race, they got the essence of what makes Lois, Lois, correct. Like, she's happy and quirky and, like, she's a go-getter. You know, she's quirky, she's a go-getter, she's awkward, she's kind of shy and timid around Clark, but, you know, she's, you know, good at her job, she's determined. Which I guess it's the same thing as saying a go-getter, but, you know, so really the fact they changed her race, you know, didn't bother me. And it doesn't seem like it's bothered a lot of people, because a lot of people were like, oh shit, this show's really good. And, you know, a lot of people are loving, you know, loved Clark and Lois together. So, you know, and also Jimmy, which, again, I knew about Jimmy, but I didn't really know who Jimmy was, but Jimmy's black in the show. And, like, most iterations, he's a white ginger, which, again, I don't really know about Jimmy that much. Like, I know more about Lois, obviously, than Jimmy, But I'm assuming they got the essence of his character right, too. So, again, him being black isn't really a hindrance on the show like some people might think it is, who, you know, might claim it to be woke. But yeah, I'm glad I haven't heard that many people complaining about, like, the race swap, because to me, I don't really think it's that big a deal. Like, if you don't like it, there's, like I said, there's other various iterations of both characters, of both Clark and Lois out there, you know. There's the other animated content, you know, with the DC animated universe, you know. And then, of course, you've got the Man of Steel, and then you've got the Christopher Reeves Superman movies. I'm sure there's more, but, you know, there's different iterations. There's and also the comics, you know. So, Alice Lee. I said that. She does a great job as Lois. Ishmael is great as Jimmy. And the rest of the cast does a great job, too. You know, like I said, Chris Parnell, the guy who voiced Jerry, the guy who voices Jerry in Rick and Morty, he voices Slade, he's great. Deborah Wilson voices Amanda Waller. She does a great job. And I'm trying to, I've heard her name before. I'm trying to figure out what she's been in. What has she been in? She's been in some stuff. Okay. Yeah, she's been in stuff. I'm not sure where I've heard her voice, though. But, okay, interesting. Everyone in the cast did a great job. And I loved... Yeah, I mean, they just got everything right. You know, it seems like about what makes Superman, or what makes Clark, Clark, you know. Going back to Lois real quick, I love the fact that and another thing that I had heard about the show before I even started watching the show was how much, other than, you know, people saying that they loved the show and all that, besides seeing the trailer, the other thing that I heard a lot of people constantly talking about and memeing and joking about was the fact that Lois, this version of Lois looks so much like Luce from The Owl House. And as soon as I heard people say that and I looked at Lois, I'm like, you know what, she kind of does, and she kind of sounds like her, too. And I looked it up, because I'm like, that's not Sarah Nicole Robles, is it? And I looked up the cast, and I was like, you know, I saw that it was Alice Lee who voiced her. And I'm like, oh, okay, so it's not her. But it does sound like her. Like, and also, again, Luce is, like, you know, in The Owl House, like, she's very upbeat and go-getting and positive. And Lois is also very much energetic and upbeat and positive and go-getting, you know. So it's like, I'm not saying they're the exact same character, but I'm saying they have similar personalities, like they, you know, and similar energies, you know, and similar vibes. So it's like, it's kind of funny that, like, and, you know, and also Luce has, it's not exactly a pixie cut, but she's got like a short haircut too, similar, and a similar skin tone and color to, Lois, you know, even though Luce is Dominican and Lois is Asian, because she's Asian because Alice Lee, her voice actress, is Asian, or Asian American, you know. So, so I thought that was cool, and yeah, I just, all the memes and of people saying, anyone notice how much Lois looks like Luce Noceda from The Owl House, and everyone's like, oh my god, I can't unsee it, but yeah, it was great. So yeah, I guess I haven't really gotten into that many spoilers. There's not a weak episode in the bunch. They're all 10 episodes are like 22 minutes apiece, and yeah, there's only 10, so it's a good binge. You know, like you could binge it in a weekend, and you know, get the whole show in. And yeah, I mean there wasn't really a weak link out of all of them. I loved episode 6, the My Adventures with Mad Science, the one where Jimmy gets kidnapped by the gorilla and his robot lover, but that was great. The next episode, Kiss Kiss Fall in a Portal, where it's like, yeah, Jimmy, or not Jimmy, Clark and Lois are about to go on their date. It's their first date, it's their first date. And, you know, both of them, and it's cute seeing, like, how kind of nervous they are, but excited they are, and they both want it to go well. And, you know, Mr. Mixus Pitalik, you know, comes in and kind of ruins, you know, tricks Superman into thinking that, you know, like, oh, Lois is in trouble, or, you know, there's someone that he's saving, and you know, he tricks him into, like, stealing a recorder from a museum, and then, which was kind of funny, and then, the Council of Lois Lanes comes in and tells Lois and Jimmy, she's like, oh, yeah, we, you know, kind of formed our own, council or our own league, to kind of just like keep a watch out for other Supermen who might, you know, in other universes who might turn out to be evil pieces of shit. And, you know, it's in that episode. And later in this episode, we find out, or Lois finds out, that, there are versions of Superman that, or versions of Clark, you know, that are, that turn evil or are born evil, you know, or not born evil, but like are raised evil. And, like, she sees him mowing down and, like, lasering people throughout Metropolis in one iteration of Earth. And she's just, like, distraught. She's like, no, this can't be true. This is impossible, you know. And, you know, that comes back into play in the finale, you know. But, yeah, it was, that was a great episode. And the finale is great, too, because, like, you know, it's, like, Clark, Lois, and Jimmy are going to Clark's house for Thanksgiving. And everything seems to be going well, but then we find out that the general, the one that's been hunting Clark this whole time and had him, like, locked up in his facility in, like, the previous episode or the episode before, like, I think it was episode 8 or 9. No, it was episode 9, yeah. He had him locked up in episode 9 in his facility, you know, and, you know, it was, like, this whole ordeal, and he escaped. And one of the villains in Task Force X went rogue, Dr. Ivo, and just started, you know, trying to kill him with his own tech, you know, and which, you know, was really cool, like how he just started turning into a huge monster. It was cool how that, how he, you know, the more electricity he gained, you know, the more electricity absorbed into the suit, the bigger the suit got, and the more monstrous he looked and became. That was cool. But yeah, we find out that the general, the, like, co-head of Task Force X is, Lois's father. she's like, oh, my father's coming. You know, like, she's, you know, she kind of has a fraught relationship with him because he's always busy and, you know, they've kind of grown distant over the years. And then when he rings the doorbell, like, she does, and it's funny because, like, at first Lois doesn't know, like, she just knows that Superman, you know, Clark had a run-in with the general, but she doesn't know that the general was her father. You know, she knows that he is a general, she just doesn't know that the one Clark ran into was him. And then, of course, she finds it out, and then, you know, there's this whole big thing where, you know, a Kryptonian ship, a warship is activated, and Clark has to, you know, save it, or, you know, save everyone from it, or, well, Clark's, space pod reacts, Jimmy and Lois are trying to talk to Clark, and Jimmy, you know, when, Jimmy's trying to give, Lois her purse back, the file that Lois got from the League of Lois's, falls out, and he views it, and sees one of the alternate universes where he's evil. He kind of freaks out a little bit, and then, you know, he tries to turn it off, and the file opens, inside is we saw in that episode, in episode 7, but we see a little kryptonite crystal, and, you know, it kind of, you know, makes him go a little, you know, it starts draining him of his powers, and his space pod, you know, that's on their farm, on the Kent farm, you know, reacts, and it rises and sends a signal. And it prompts an invasion, like, and we see a Kryptonian warship just open up a portal in the sky and, like, is slowly starting to come through. And, and, you know, Clark has to stop it, and, you know, and then they end up, and Lois and Jimmy, you know, stop the, stopping some of the Kryptonian robots from, you know, invading by using the crystal, which was cool that they got in on the action. And, you know, Clark stops the ship, you know, the portal cuts off, like, slices, you know, it shuts, the portal's shut, it's closed, and it cuts off some of the, it slices off, like, the head of the ship, and the ship falls into the cornfield, and the day is saved. And, you know, the general, Sam, Lois's father, is about to shoot Superman, or shoot Clark, but Lois, you know, tells him, you know, hey, she's like, hey, look, Clark's a good guy, he's a good guy, he's Superman, he just saved us. And, you know, I thought he was actually going to still turn him in, but no, he, you know, he's like, well, I'm doing this for you, Lois, you know. Or, I mean, he has that moment where he's like, you know what, I'm doing this for my daughter. Fine, I'm not going to turn him in. And then he just ups and leaves. Like, he doesn't say a word. You know, Lois turns back to look at Clark, and then she turns back to look at her dad. She's like, thank you, Dad. And then, like, she looks, and he's not there. So, you know, it's like, you know, I wonder where he went off to. but yeah, so he leaves, and, oh, and also we find out, you know, they have their normal Thanksgiving, and Jimmy reveals that, because earlier in the episode, it looked like their boss Perry at the Daily Planet wanted to tell him something, and it was, like, all serious, like, it was very ominous the way they kind of set that up. But then we find out at the dinner table, Jimmy tells them, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I sold Flamebird, which is like his, it's like his YouTube channel, an app, and he has his own channel on it. It's basically like a service for like conspiracy theorists, you know, and he's like, I sold my Flamebird channel for like $5.4 million, and but the way he says it so casually, and then everyone's like, wait, what the hell, you sold what, you know. But I mean, they're happy for him, but at first they're shocked. They're like, wait, what? And which is funny. And yeah, so that was great. And but then the season ends, we get this right after that, we cut to space, we get this cliffhanger with this dude called Brainiac, who I guess is also a Kryptonian, but he's talking with this other Kryptonian, warrior who is, it's like him, he's like leading this massacre of this planet, like he's like genociding this planet, and like he's watching it burn, and like some of his other soldiers and some more, like some Kryptonian robots are like messing with him. Or I mean, like destroying the people and the planet they're living on. And Brainiac informs the warrior of the rebellious Earth, and he's like, oh, we have a new planet to conquer. And the warrior, he tells Brainiac, he's like, well, humanity will kneel before us, damn it. He's like, we're gonna make this happen, you know. And I was like, oh shit. So like, it's like, you know, like this season was already like, you know, built, you know, it had built up a great, like, tense, you know, action-packed thrill ride, you know, of a season. But it seems like, you know, with that cliffhanger, it's like, oh shit, season two is gonna be even more insane, considering the fact that, you know, now we have more Kryptonians on the way. Like, we haven't had Kryptonians yet, except for Clark, you know. I mean, we had the technology and the robots, but I mean, we haven't had, like, actual, like, people, Kryptonian people, show up, and now they know that, you know, because their link was, that portal was severed from Earth and the ship was cut in half, you know, they're aware of a Kryptonian on Earth, and they're aware that Earth is not going to back down. You know, they have a protector that's not going to take any of their shit. So it's like, well, we're screwed. Or they're screwed, you know. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do with season two. And I'm assuming they haven't released anything saying, yeah, season two is going to be coming out. But I feel like there is, because, like I said, back when they picked it up 2 years ago in 2021, they greenlit it for two seasons. So I'm assuming, and with that cliffhanger, I'm assuming they knew they were going to get a season two, because why else would they, unless they didn't know and just assumed they were still going to, you know. But I'm assuming they know that they're going to get a season two, because they did end on that cliffhanger. But yeah, so I'm looking, but the season was great overall. I loved it. I can't wait for season two. If you guys haven't seen it, go watch it. I really highly recommend it. It's great. But you know, when this writer's strike, calms down and the studio execs get their heads out of their asses, we can like get the shows and movies coming out next year, that are supposed to come out next year, we can get production ramping back up on them, you know, get the ball rolling again. But I mean, obviously this can't keep going on forever. It's got to come to an end at some point. And hopefully that's sooner rather than later. but and hopefully they can come up with a deal that satisfies not really them so much. I mean, obviously it has to satisfy them, but hopefully it more than that, I hope it satisfies the writers and actors striking, because, you know, people are like, oh, they're all the millionaire actors, the rich actors are striking, but it's not the ones that like make a shit ton of money. It's the ones that are like are working job to job, you know. I mean, not that they don't have money, but, you know, they can't afford to sit out for months and months without working, you know. It's like they got to make a living too, you know, and California is hella expensive to live in but because it's a bustling city, you know, but the city's booming, but anyway, so, you know, I dumbass people saying, oh yeah, they have enough money, what the hell's their problem, you know. It's like, it's not the big wig actors, it's like some of the it's actors, you know, but it's like some of the smaller tier actors, you know, that not the ones that already have millions of dollars, you know. But and even then, eventually they'll need to make money too doing something, you know. So but anyway, so yeah, hopefully, a little tangent, but yeah, hopefully they get their heads out of their asses and come to an agreement so we can get this next season going. But yeah, I loved it. Can't wait for the next season. So, and with that, the season 7 premiere comes to a close. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and, you know, join me, next week for my review of season 4 of Harley Quinn. Season 4 ends next Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. The season's been great. But I'll let you know more about the season, next week. So stay tuned for that review next Friday, and, hope you guys have a great weekend, and, until then, take care.